I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Hi again, and welcome to Babe.
Welcome to Babe. We're at my apartment again because we have a guest.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Super exciting. So yeah, we're still doing guests.
Mm-hmm. Fear not.
Because
we took a little bit of a break from a guest journey, and then now we're back on a guest journey. And
I would like to do them all the time.
Ryan wants a guest every single week.
It's so easy because you honestly don't have to do the heavy lifting. You can just be like, hey, what's your story? And be like,
I still am really unclear on what heavy lifting you're doing on this podcast.
It's called being on. It's a job. I'm on right now. I'm tired.
It's so much less work.
It's so much less work. It's also just like fun talking to like new people.
No, it's fun talking to new people. Yeah. I like spicing it up every once in a while.
Yeah. I think like once a month.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
Well, you're like more so twice because we have another guest.
Oh, yeah. We have another guest next week too. We have good ones. We have good ones coming up.
No, good. Really good ones. Yeah. Our only guest rule is no straight guys.
Yeah. No straight white guys. Yeah. Never.
But no, because I thought straight guys.
Like a version of like a straight guy, white guy is like babing out is like, I didn't get into Princeton. Like, I feel like that's not.
I feel like
it's just like, I don't care. Like to hear them talk about like the time they've been crazy and like been nuts. I'm like, I don't like literally know.
There are a lot of people that care about their struggles and we're not one of them.
Oh yeah.
Like the world cares.
I don't think the world cares that much anymore.
Well, not anymore, but like historically it has. Yeah. So they've had enough attention. Why do they need ours?
That's how I'm, exactly.
But yeah, we have a guest. And Ryan's been having a babe of a week.
What are you talking about?
You've been babing this week.
No.
I need to blow the lid.
I think you've been babing out too. I'm going to say it right here.
Okay, fine. But you have me first.
Fine.
I need to blow the lid off of a tweet that Ryan sent out.
I'll come out about this. I don't fucking care.
Okay, so give the readers.
Bring it.
Give the readers the context.
Okay, shut up. Hold on. Stop it.
We had a real babe dinner. I cooked dinner for Ryan on Sunday, made a delicious
You cooked up drama is what you cooked
no,
up.
No, you cooked up drama, and I had to sit and watch you and Jonathan get in a full-blown fight.
It was like full-blown Virginia Woolf.
It devolved into utter insanity. I've truly never seen you become unhinged in that way. Like, you're always like, pretty much unhinged, but like in a fun way. This was in like a scary way.
Well, I felt like I wasn't being heard, which is
and we all know what happens
when I don't get heard. When we all have to suffer heard.
Yeah, there's drama
when I don't get heard. Bring your headphones.
So I cook dinner, and we sit, and while I'm cooking, Jonathan tells me about this tweet that Ryan sent
out. Oh yeah.
And this was the first moment of like me being like, babe,
I don't really do this. This is like what I did was, because you know me, you know my output. You know my output as a creator.
I thought I did.
You know my content.
No,
you know my content. You know I am for real. I am like an authentic individual.
So I guess Jonathan's been trying to get Ryan to watch Wild Wild Country, and Ryan has hissed a la Courtney Love and been like, no. And
well,
like,
that's not true. We watched the first episode and I went night-night. I honestly like always fall asleep when we watch a TV show. And it breaks my heart because sometimes I really want to watch the show.
It
does. And I just fall asleep and I feel so sad about it because I'm like, well, that will never happen. I mean, I have to watch something at 2 p.m. Otherwise, I'm going to be like unconscious, like immediately.
Yeah.
And it's fucked up. It ain't right, but it's real.
So you fell asleep after watching one episode, and then
half an episode.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan proceeded to watch and is like a show that he's passionate about and loves.
Yeah.
So then Ryan takes to Twitter.
Stop. Do you have the tweet?
I need to find it.
Oh, well.
Did you delete it?
No, of course not. I'm being authentic. I'm being authentic.
Honey, someone's trying to walk it back.
No, I'm not walking it back. I own what I said. So, I own it. You know?
Jonathan's like cruising Ryan's Twitter, and he sees this tweet from one Ryan O'Connell where Ryan says, let's find it exactly, because I really am just so desperate.
Oh, great. It's super exciting. This is kind of humiliating. On a very
You need to be called out for this, because this is not okay.
This is a low-level humiliation. I mean, there's definitely higher ones, but it's low, but it's annoying. I get it. Go ahead. Put me to the fire.
Where is it? Okay. Here it is. On April 10th. I'd rather watch my boyfriend cheat, get gonorrhea of the throat, and transmit it to me than watch an episode of Wild Wild Country without me.
Not true. I don't want to watch it. So that was a lie.
So
that was me trying to be part of the zeitgeist, and it really backfired.
I have a lot of questions because I'm like, you know that
I don't.
We follow you on Twitter. Like, I mean, I wouldn't flag that.
This might shock you, but I just didn't think that much about it. I thought what happened was I was on the phone with Carly getting interviewed for her new Vogue column, and basically she was like we were talking about how being in love makes you basic, and I was like, yeah, like literally 80% of it is just like watching a TV show together. Like literally, it's just like, what are we watching tonight, babe? And it's like literally World War III if you like can't decide. And I was like, I literally like at this point, because there was one show that we watched, which I can't remember where he. Or me, probably me, went ahead and watched some things that happened. And it was like, it was
a huge
drama.
Betrayal.
It was a huge betrayal. And I think that's hilarious and pathetic. So I literally was like, oh my God, yeah, at this point, I would rather my boyfriend cheat on me, give me gonorrhea to throw, than watch, you know. And I just thought, what is the new hot zeitgeisty show? And I said, Wild Wild Country, like just whatever. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. And I'll just tweet it. I mean, it's actually really embarrassing when you reveal the thought process behind a stupid tweet, and I'm so you've been publicly shamed. Okay. So you've been, now I feel like Justine Sacco, and I just got off the plane in Africa, and I have come to a cruel wake up call.
And I'm here to tell you, you're fired.
Yeah. Now I'm fired from life. I know.
Oh, I love that, by the way.
Truly,
that's not like your vibe.
No, I never do that. It's so out of character, because I'm seriously so real.
And when Jonathan said that, I had a bone chill that started at my feet, radiated through my entire body.
It's wrong.
Like, I felt it in my skull, and I was just like, what is life? And then the dinner proceeded to
it got worse.
And then Ryan.
It was like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills dinner with Alison Dubois.
It was. They brought over two bottles of wine.
No, they brought over like three, and Jonathan drank two.
And I had half left.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had.
Drank like two of them.
I had a glass and a half of wine, and then Ryan and Jonathan proceeded to just house the rest, and then
mostly Jonathan.
But we're having a nice dinner, just enjoying life, and then Ryan starts talking about wanting a dog, which is something that he's talked about openly before, and it's like totally fine and normal, and like I support the dog, and like it's all good. But then somehow Ryan gets into a fight with Jonathan out of nowhere about getting the dog, and Ryan was like, I want a dog. And then Jonathan was like, I don't want a dog right now. Like, my career is not really in the place where I want to have a dog. And
you don't need a good career. I mean, honestly, actually, Tracy, our guest, will be actually amazing to kind of chime in, because you got a dog.
This is a good 20, time.
No, listen, you got a dog because I know you. And, or maybe she wrote this story called A Tale of Two Bitches on your Tumblr that truly is like one of my favorite pieces of writing ever. I think it's amazing.
Let's introduce the guest.
Oh, sorry.
Though.
Oh, my God. We're really bad at this.
Today's
we're professionals.
Guest, we got an email about that once. Someone was like, can you please introduce the guest? And so I'm here to tell you, I heard your feedback, and the answer is yes, we'll introduce the guest.
Okay. This is Tracy Egan Morrissey. She's basically iconic to me. I mean, she is one of... No, I'm serious. She's like, you're...
That's it.
You're an...
Iconic to Ryan.
Yeah. No, but she's an OG at Bust, and then Jezebel, and she founded Broadly, and now she's at Viceland. I mean, she's doing it.
Things are happening.
So, like, actually, you're actually really good to talk to about this dog thing, because you got one when you were 24, right?
Yeah, I was young.
You were young. And like you and talk single. You talk about how having this dog kind of forced you to grow up and blah, blah, blah. It was a very touching story.
Okay.
It was.
So to take it back to Ryan's meltdown.
But I'm just saying, the whole idea of a career, that's why I get frustrated. Because like, you didn't really have a career when you had...
No.
When you first
but
started.
But you wanted a dog at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I really want this. And like, it wasn't like you went through questions of like, can I afford this? Or can I really do this? Or am I emotionally ready? You're just like, I want a dog.
I've like never, I didn't even think about having a kid like that.
Yeah. Got pregnant. Like I got a dog when I was 20 and then I didn't think about any of that stuff. And then 6 months later, I gave the dog away.
But
to,
also
like,
you
a
have
couple.
A history of returning pets.
Do you?
Well, yes, but this is Ryan also trying to deflect right now. So
she returned her cat after like 5 years.
I didn't
five
return. Years. I rehomed
her. Well, you rehomed
her. Yeah.
You pulled a Lena Dunham and you rehomed.
I rehomed and she lives in Mar Vista now. And
to be
chill.
Fair, she really was a demon cat.
She
I've
was.
Never seen anything like it before. She was possessed.
It was a lot. If she you was... have, if you're angry about it, like, take it somewhere else because I really don't need to hear it.
I know. The outrage over her like rehoming her dog, I was like, he sounded like a fucking piece of work. Who
yeah,
cares?
He sounds like a fucking
like,
asshole.
Who cares?
Yeah, it was nice like, that she rehomed him and didn't put him down.
Oh, please. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But people get like really crazy about animals. I'm like, I get it, but I'm also like, shut up. So...
That's me without everything. I get it, but shut up. That's like my tagline. I like, wait, that's a good name for a podcast, by the way. I get it, but shut up.
Yeah. So okay. Ryan starts talking about wanting a dog and we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like, then we just ask the question like how, like, what about when you're shooting, when, what about what happens when you have a lot of work to be done? Like who, what's going to happen with the dog? Like blah, blah, blah. Just like logistically
kind of work, though, like,
but just having to
going
like,
on
like,
location.
No, like, yeah. Like when
like
I,
being
when
in
I'm
a writer's
shooting,
room or being,
room, being
out of the house all day.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Dog
and then he's
yeah.
like,
I have a lot of that.
Yeah. Okay. And so he's like, well, I'll handle it. Blah, blah, blah. So then it's like, okay, it's solved. And then Jonathan's like, well, I don't really feel like I'm in a place where I really want a dog. And then Ryan was like, and then I kind of interjected and I was like, you know, Ryan, like you've brought this up before, but like maybe like if you really want a dog, like it can be your dog and like you can take care of it and that's chill and it can live mm-hmm. in that. And Ryan goes, no, no, I don't know. I do not want a dog by myself. I want to raise a, I want to take care of something outside of myself and be unselfish and selfless for once in my life. And I need to do it with a partner. This is a partnership and I need a partner to have a dog with me. And I need you to.
Which
have.
I still feel.
And then Jonathan was like, okay, but I'm just not ready. Like maybe. And Ryan goes, well, you're never going to be ready. You're never going to be ready. You're always never going to be ready to have a
trap
dog.
Him.
Years from now, you're never going to. And it just. And this fight at this intensity lasted for 30 minutes. Because Ryan.
Because we were going around in circles and I wasn't hearing him, I'll admit.
Oh.
No, I wasn't hearing. I can admit when I'm wrong. That's how, by the way, that's how a relationship works. Like literally, like you have to admit when you're wrong.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the relationship is like gonna
falls
be,
apart.
It's on borrowed time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we always we never go to bed angry. That's
no,
like a
and it was
move.
It all got it. It never got to like a scary
no.
place or like
it wasn't
a,
like fuck you. Like it wasn't like
no. It,
wasn't
it never
like,
got to like a
prostitution whore.
Place.
Yeah. It
yeah.
wasn't.
It
yeah.
was just like it was just like Ryan truly being a psycho in a way that I've never witnessed before. Like
yeah.
that.
Sometimes like yeah, sometimes I feel like when you're in a fight, it just you're on a merry-go-round that you just can't get off, but you're seeing the same thing over and over again. You're just going around and around and around and you're just like you like get dizzy and you like lose the plot. Like I lose the plot frequently when I'm fighting.
The plot was
I'm literally like
lost.
What are we even talking about? I literally get confused. I'm just
I
like
I lock in. I feel like I lock
in. You're like hone in like a laser.
Oh, I'll hone until
focus. Got that Adderall focus. I'm gonna win this fucking fight.
I'm usually like a last word person in a fight.
Well,
for sure.
I feel like I was really intense and
it was intense.
I wasn't hearing him. So I'm sorry.
So as your friend, I've been through a lot this week.
Yeah, but okay, so
as a result of seeing not only that meltdown, but then you come into my apartment the next day, first thing in the morning, and be announcing that you're like moving to Atwater Village, which is not true.
Oh, you only just Oh, so wait, you're not moving?
No, so I'm like... keep up. It's not confusing at all. I got a realtor and I'm meeting with a mortgage lender guy. I'm getting pre-approved for all that stuff. And so I'm going to house openings. Fun. But the market right now is so severe. Today we saw this beautiful, like, small bungalow house in Atwater Village, which, like, when I moved to LA 5 years ago, Atwater Village was like TBD, but now there's like 20 artisanal, like, coffee shops and it's like popping. But anyway, so we go to the house and we've been told that the market now is very, very competitive. And we were the first people to see it. Literally an hour later, we are like, oh, they already got an offer and it's $100,000 over asking price. And I'm just like, oh my God. I've been told stories that basically everything now,
like New York stuff.
It is. Yeah. I've been told that everything now is going for like $100,000 over asking price, which I did not know. I thought that you could always barter. I mean, I always thought that you could get the price a little bit down.
Well, yeah,
no.
But if it's like competitive.
Not in this market. And yeah. So I'm kind of just like, it's depressing. It was like the first time, like, we loved it and then it was just gone 20 minutes later. It was like so surreal, like being like falling in love with a new house and then being like, it's not ours. It's just weird. I don't know. It was weird.
I think it's the time of year. I think spring is when everyone sells their house for the most part.
I bet.
So
I bet.
But it like around December.
But you also bought a house. I mean, you're actually like an adult. You got a dog and then you like.
Then I gave her away.
Yeah.
Strangers to my parents because she bites and I was having a baby, so it wasn't but I had her for like 8 years.
No, that's a long time. Is she still alive?
No, she just died this summer. I have her ashes.
Oh my god.
Edie.
I'm such a creep. I'm gonna anyways
all the facts of her life.
I do.
She had a troubling personality, but like she had a personality.
Oh, she wasn't, it sounded like she did. Yeah. Well, it sounded like she really took to you and then she took to no one else.
Yeah, no one. Yeah. She likes my mom. Well, she's dead. She liked my mom. But
how was it when she passed away? Was it surreal or were like
it was awful because she was starting to get sick and my parents called me and they told me, and I was like, I called my dad and he took her to the vet because she had like a seizure, and I was like, I mean, she was fucking old. Like, I got her the day that Janet Jackson exposed her nipple on the Super Bowl. I will always remember that day because I got
so well Janet.
I remember that day.
So well Janet. She's forced to never forget.
So it's like that was like a really long time ago, and she was like one when I got her. She was like a million in dog years. So I was like, Dad, you know, if you're gonna put her down this week, just let me know and I'll come down and I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it's gonna be fine, because he like is like, he likes to avoid, and he's like, he doesn't want to confront anything.
Right.
And so then I was like, you know, because I'm going camping this week, which is like a new turn of events for me, as I went camping recently or last summer twice.
You went camping?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Like in nature, like
really, 10. Three. I went camping 3 times. It's like my new thing. Like,
I went camping twice last year too. And I'm going camping this weekend.
It's kind of fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Where do you go camping?
Once I did glamping, which is great. I had like furniture and heat and air conditioning. Yeah. But it was like a canvas tent.
You're like, I was in a beautiful house in the mountains.
And had wood floors.
But it was restful.
But I was in a forest. So I was
like
camping.
Sheepskin thread. Yeah.
That was in Montana on a dude ranch.
Oh, sheep.
And then I went to you can rent these little islands that are just tiny islands, like maybe as big as this courtyard or a little bit bigger. I think it's like Vermont or upstate New York, wherever they meet in some kind of lake.
Okay.
And you have to take a boat to get there, like 2 hours. And so I did that with my friends.
Cute. Oh, nice.
And then I took Una camping at Knoebels, which is like this super trashy Poconos place. It's like trash from Philly.
Did she love it?
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I still love it.
Oh my God. I grew up camping a lot. I mean, that's kind of what I guess, like, my parents grew up, like, we didn't have a lot of money. So they were just like, we're going camping again. And I was like, great. I was like, no worries.
I feel like it's expensive to buy stuff to do it.
Not when you grow up in, like, Ventura, California. Like, you can just go, like, you can blink and you're just, like, there for a dollar. Like, it's not. It ain't glamping. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you're like, glamping was kind of expensive.
You're like, why does the person next to us have no teeth? And why is he smoking out of crack pipe? Like, it's not. Like, was not chic. But I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I wasn't really an outdoor kid. So it was really triggering for me to be forced to move.
I was never like an outdoorsy person until last summer, but I feel like mushrooms have helped me. I mean, I've done mushrooms like plenty before, but like doing that, but in the wilderness, made me really like it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's the way that you're supposed to take it, maybe. I don't know. But you could take it anywhere.
Yeah, outdoors in nature has always been a successful mushroom journey for me.
Yes.
Indoors, never.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Why would I want to be like tripping out in my apartment?
Yeah.
But wait, so.
What?
But I've just had a challenging week with your behavior and the house thing.
Okay, yeah. I'm ready to buy a fucking house.
I know, but it was like, I realized too, I was like, God.
You know, but I thought you meant like you're moving like in a month.
No, he came in to be
but
like,
you know how
I'm moving.
A house is. Like, when, if you find a place, you're
you
going to
get it. Yeah. You're in.
You're in.
Yeah.
So I can move. By the way, like, I've told my realtor that I love it here very much, mm-hmm. and I'm in no rush. Okay.
Good.
So.
I'm truly like.
So I'm not going to go. I mean, and also, by the way, if every place I go to in Atwater Village is like going to get bought for over $100,000 of asking price, which by the way, it's already because the market's high, it's already overpriced. So it's
what's
like,
Atwater Village? Where is
it? Oh, Atwater is like next door to Los Feliz.
Okay. Yeah. And like Glendale.
It's really cute. It's between. I fucking hate Glendale. It's not Glendale.
I like the mall.
It's not.
It's by Glendale.
I truly hate Glendale. Okay, wait. So to talk about you for a second, Tracy, let's see. Okay, so to give our viewers or readers some herstory, you had a blog called One D at a Time, which does that feel like 20,000 years ago?
Yes. 'Cause
I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was, though.
It was. I mean, like...
I was so young then.
Yeah. Well, also, I feel like internet years are, because I'm, you know, having worked for the internet, I feel like internet years feel so much longer.
Yes.
Like, I worked at ThoughtCatalog like for 3 years, and it felt like 10.
So much happens every day.
Every day.
Switching to development from being on the internet for so long, development for TV, I was like, why aren't we doing any fucking work? Like, every day I was like, aren't we going to do something?
No, totally.
Sitting around.
It's a whole different pace.
It's a way different pace. Because, like...
I didn't get it at first. I was like, oh my God, I'm awful at this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get anything done. Well, because that's just the mode.
Yeah, like, in a traditional office, I feel like your job is, like, emails and then like meetings and then meetings about meetings and the emails some more and then whatever.
Following up.
Following up. Closing the loop.
Phone
closing that goddamn loop. Circling back, Bob. Left word. You know. But I feel like the internet, it's such a breakneck. I mean, I honestly feel like if you can work and survive in the internet, you can work pretty much anywhere because it is such an intense environment. So anyway, you had One D at a Time and I remember reading it when I was like after college or something and being like, honestly, it was a light bulb moment for me as a writer because I was like, wait, you can just be funny and like write how you talk. And that like blew my mind. I was like, cause I thought like going to like creative writing like class, you had to like write about like desert roads and like freeways and like some sad like little girl in the
so
attic.
Boring.
Like I just like felt like you had to write like short stories or novels or whatever. And then I just read your blog, which was about your like sexploits and you just were like truly lol. And I was like, wait, I just want to write about this. Like, I was like, this is fun. I was like, wow. And it's like, you also write how you talk, how you write IRL, which I think some people don't. And that's,
you do. You for sure do.
Oh, I for sure do.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's interesting because I feel like that it's easy, but it's also hard because it's like, it's a certain kind of perfection of just, you know, making whatever. Anyway, it's not like you're just transcribing what you're saying. You're putting thoughts together. But anyway, I just remember reading it and being like, oh my God, this is like what writing can be. And then.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. It was a big deal. And then did you know that I interned at Jezebel?
When?
I know. It's so weird. I interned remotely.
I must. Oh, okay. But I work. I mean, I never would go to the office ever.
Oh, right.
Ever,
I just worked from home. And I was just like,
Wait, you were the boy intern?
Yeah, for a month. Then I went to Europe.
Were you there at the same
time?
Yeah,
did Mo hire you?
No, Anna hired me.
But did you do stuff with Mo? No. Or was it after Mo?
It was after Mo, but Anna Holmes hired me.
Okay, yeah. We had a boy intern that like Mo brought into the fold, and it was like, it went terribly. I actually forget the whole story, but it was like a really, I was like, oh my God, that was you? But no, that wasn't you. I'm so glad that that was not you.
Lol, yeah, that was not me. I seriously worked for like 6 weeks, and then I told Anna, I was like, I gotta go to Europe.
What do you even, how did we even have interns then? Like, what did you do?
I took the news items for Dirtbag, and I just like would like write annotations of like, this is what this article is about. Right. And I was so bored, but I would write really funny annotations, and Anna Holmes would be like lolling. I mean, like being like, you know, and she'd be like, this is really funny. And I'm like, thank you. But I was like 22. You know what I mean? I was just like, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I had to go to Europe. So it was like, fine.
You just had to go to Europe.
I had to go to Europe. I was like, maybe I can, and I told Anna, I was like, maybe I can work from Jezebel in Europe. And she's like, no.
Wait, why couldn't you? You were working remote. You didn't even have to tell her you were going anywhere. You actually would have been ahead on the clock.
I know,
so she would have been like, wow, he's so early with it.
It's true. It's true. But do you ever miss, because you've really transitioned out of writing about personal stuff. Do you ever miss that stuff at all?
I've transitioned out of writing on the internet.
Yeah.
I write.
Yeah.
But I've not published anything. But I'm like just writing when things happen.
Yeah.
So that I can use it later. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're like, you're keeping your own little journal.
Yes.
Love
well, not
that.
Like a, it's, yeah. I'm
but
just
it's
like
recording.
You're keeping notes.
Yeah, I am actually. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, I've actually really thought about that, keeping notes, and then I get lazy. Like, things will happen to me where I'm like, that's insane, and I need to use that for some future tell-all. But
yeah,
then,
no, keep notes in your notes. On your phone, you can organize it.
Yeah.
I need to do
that. Wait, how do you organize? In your notes section? Do you have, like, a special technique, or you just are writing everything down?
No, I have notes that are for work, and then I have notes that are like lists mm-hmm. of things I have to buy, which I also save.
That's good idea. I love lists. Like
I have lots
and
of
I
lists.
Love going back to lists and like
yeah, when I
it's
look
a good
at this,
check-in
I'm like, why
process.
Did I need this?
Yeah.
Like and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like garlic and rope or something. What was I doing?
Honey, I don't know.
Killing vampires.
And then I have like work ideas.
Yeah.
And then I have like things that I mean you know, to be quite honest, like just shit that happens at Vice that like, yeah. I'm like, people would never believe this.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
that's how
I'm
feel,
just like writing it down.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel in meetings and in writers' rooms. Like there are interactions that happen that I'm just like chilled to the bone about. And I'm like, it's actually truly, truly lol. And I'm like, but also like you can't talk about it. Like you truly can. I mean, if you ever came out with like
just gotta
stories,
save it for later.
Yeah, yeah. Save it for some date when I'm like, you know, when Hollywood won't hire me anymore. And I'm like, well, time for my, you know, journey into the tell all.
Yeah. No, do it. Yeah, you have to.
But
take notes.
I feel like, you know, you've definitely like the concept of babe is obviously, yeah, people bathing out. And like I feel like you know, I said this to you before, like you are an expert of turning a babe into a babe. And I feel like when you talk, because you owned all your shit, you were like, here's what I'm doing, like, lol. And I feel like that was like really refreshing and also kind of revolutionary because in that time in the internet, you just didn't give a fuck. And I think that was like very empowering for people to read, right? And it probably pissed people off as well.
Oh, God. I always wonder if I would hate myself now.
Like, if you read
back then, yeah.
If you read back, do you have like archives of your blog?
No. I mean, probably, but I wasn't good about that.
Yeah.
Have you ever read it? Like, you've never read, like have you gone back through?
No, not in so long. I mean, not, God, probably like 10 years or something.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I did, you know, so babe.net, I don't know, is that a sticking point? Is that like a,
I know,
is that a pain point for you guys?
No,
I mean,
babe.net is actually a perfect tie-in because everything they publish is a babe.
Yeah.
So it's actually,
truly,
they're babing out.
Yeah.
They're
mood board.
Babing out.
Yeah. Basically, totally. Every other babe aside from our babe is a babe.
Yeah.
Or just a babe, ..
Right.
Intervention style. Yeah. But we're like the good, we're the babe.
Yeah.
Remember when one of the girls from Babe, like one of the editors, I don't even, or maybe it was the writer of the Aziz Ansari thing.
Uh-huh.
Was like, she like wrote an email or something to Ashley Banfield And it was like so mean. And I was like, I like her. I like her spice. Oh,
yeah. When she like, she wrote like the letter, like eviscerating.
Yes. I was like, I totally would have done something like that. Like so ill-advised.
Yeah. No, it's also ill-advised. It's so sad. Cause that's the thing. Like, you
like,
know,
just like react.
You know, having been on the internet for so long, like sacrificial lambs, like literally like, and people are just like, sure, share your story about how Aziz Ansari ordered red instead of white wine and how that made you feel. Like, go ahead. You know what I mean?
They just mishandled that whole story.
But it's gross and it's like predatory. I mean, it's, I mean, obviously Aziz was fucking disgusting and that whole story is a like fucking TBD. But
I also, yeah, I still kind of think that like it was, they handled it really in like a really terrible way and like, they only have like two girls that are like 24 that work there, but right. There's this like other side.
Like, wait, who even works there?
I looked them up. I found them on LinkedIn, and I.
Like, you are truly like a really good investigative reporter.
No, I really am.
Yeah.
No, Tracy, like... you really are. Like when it comes to reality stuff, like I, you know everything.
I like. It's I just, kind of nuts. I can find out about like. You know, tax liens and...
You know, all. I feel like you're just like a lawyer at this point.
I love to go into it and then just not even use it. Just have that knowledge.
You just want to know.
I do. I really just want to know. I don't even care.
That's
about,
why
like...
you're a perfect journalist. You're curious. You're curious.
No, the Babe girls, I kept seeing interviews and it was like after that article blew up and everyone, the guy in the interview, it was a guy who kept being interviewed who like was from the parent company or the parent blog, which I'd never heard of. I don't even remember what they were called. And then I did a tweet that was like, you know, if there are any girls that work at Babe or whatever, and then they were like two girls were like, I do. Like, went on their LinkedIn. One is just wearing, I don't know if she's changed her picture, but she was just wearing a bra.
No. On
her LinkedIn.
Oh my
we
god.
We got an email from someone this week that was like nominating a Babe of the Week or a tweet or something that had a guy, just a shirtless, like hot guy. Yeah. That was his LinkedIn profile.
LinkedIn!
Which is definitely a move you could take,
But like,
and then I was like, so then I responded to both of them, and I was like, listen, I was like, if you are really the people who have done this story or whatever, I was like, stop letting a man take all the credit for your work. Everybody knows what babe.net is. Nobody knows whatever his site is.
Yeah.
And then... I was like, you know, and you all should be in our, oh, I was looking to see if there was an EIC. Right. There's no EIC there. So.
Don't say.
Wait, what's an EIC?
Editor in chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's so just biz talk. Laura.
That is biz talk.
And the one girl was like, I'm an editor. And so, and I was,
she's like 17.
The only editor. What? And then I was like, if you're doing EIC duties, make sure you're getting an EIC paycheck.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy. They're the only reason why anyone knows what that shit is or that whole network is or whatever.
So are two people really running that whole website?
Yeah, it's like an editor and like another writer girl. And then I think they're in Williamsburg. Yeah.
Is it still like a thing?
I don't know. What do they post?
I was actually like really considering reaching out to them and being like, or to like the parent company and be like, I could actually do this better. And like, you guys have a moment you can capitalize on right now if you want help. And then I didn't, because I was like, I didn't feel like it. But I almost.
You're too busy. You had to get your car.
But I like you like being kind of a shaman to those girls.
Yeah, that's
at least trying to give them like a heads up.
You could like do a learning annex class.
Yeah.
How to be a good whore.
Or how to like not let guys take credit for your work.
Yeah, or just like get paid better. You know, like they're obviously, I mean, they must have done amazing traffic that month.
I'm sure.
But then they just like couldn't keep it up, which is a shame for
them. There's only so many Aziz Ansari and salt stories you can run with.
I bet they just didn't put any like money into the site to like expand it, which is such a stupid move. And it was probably like that because like some like stupid straight guy was in charge and he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Yeah. And he didn't want to like, he's like, oh, it's doing fine on its own. Instead of like evolving it and expanding.
Yeah. This is probably, you working at Viceland's probably like the first time you've actually worked with straight men.
Yes.
Probably.
It's like, right? I fell through the looking glass. Yeah. Like I It was actually, weirdly, there was never any lesbians that worked at Bust or Jezebel while I was there.
Weird.
So it was the first time I'd worked with straight men and lesbians.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like, that's its own crash course.
Yeah.
Communication.
It's, yeah, it's different.
Yeah. I love that line. It's different.
That's what my ex-mother-in-law would say whenever, like, she didn't like something I had on or was doing or watching. She's like, that's different.
It's not a compliment at all.
Definitely not.
It's different.
I feel like you have a genuine love for babes. I feel like you've talked extensively about Anna Nicole Smith, who you love.
Yes.
Cousin Shelley, I'm assuming.
Oh my God, yes. Cousin Shelley. I've tried to find her. I've tried to, it's just, I got pretty far because I found out her name, like, I don't know, this is like a Southern thing, I think, but like people are often called by their middle names and not their first names.
Okay.
And that's so confusing.
Yeah, that is confusing.
And so her name was Michelle Cloud. But then
I'm surprised that the name on
first
her
name is actually Anna or something like that.
I'm surprised that the name on her birth certificate is not just Cousin Shelley. That's what she was named. Cousin Shelley. We'll name her Cousin Shelley.
Cousin would be a good first name.
Well, for the readers that
cousin
don't know.
Cousin is such a good like Kardashian name with a K.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cousin.
Yeah, or cuz. For the readers that don't know. Well, okay. So Anna Nicole Smith's show was iconic. Watching it, I mean, I watched it when it aired and I was like, this is boring. And now watching it as an adult, I'm like, this is the darkest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It actually
it's like in the Hall of Fame of darkest reality shows.
It's not even like funny, really. It's like just...
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, actually,
it's Bobby like being
trendy.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
It's like rewatching that, you're just like, how the fuck, like, how did they do this? But it's fascinating.
So Cousin Shelley is like her hick cousin from blah, 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 Texas, who like comes and has...
Mahia.
She has no teeth. She had few teeth, right?
Yeah,
like,
and then Anna Nicole got her teeth, and then
she ruined them again, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't know how you do.
Teeth are so expensive.
Yeah, I know. I know. And she just showed up on Anna's door, like, begging to see her, and then they, like, went out to dinner, and then she actually gives... Anna gives her Vicodin on camera.
Yes.
Which is wild.
Yes.
She's like, oh, you still got the stuff? And Anna's like, yeah.
And then hands it to her, like, not even like low-key. She's, like, kind of doing it on the table, but it's like, she's like, her eyes are shifty, and she's, you know.
Right. And then they did an interview with her the next day where she was hungover. Cousin Shelley was hungover from the night before, and she vomited on camera during her interview. Yes.
She's great on a Christmas special.
Oh, her Christmas special showing. So then they also had Anna's Christmas special. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I watch it every year.
No,
on the holidays.
It's on YouTube.
It's a whole show on YouTube.
Yeah, her stuff is really accessible, I feel like.
Season one is available on iTunes. For some reason, season one and two, season three is not. There's a bunch of stuff that like got lost in forever, like...
Wow. But
like it's just like that weird kind of like in between area of like where before people were really like archiving stuff.
Is Howard in jail today? I can't keep track.
No, he lives at his parents' house, or that's where he was like after the trial. He got off.
Wow.
There was a trial.
Do you think he killed Daniel?
By accident.
Okay.
I think he killed him by accident.
What do you mean? How do you kill him by accident?
I think he gave him a pill. Like, he gave him, like, some meth. They were all just, like, pill heads.
They were, like, all pill heads. They had a refrigerator.
Assistant Kimmy, who was just in love with her.
I got in touch with Kimmy after Anna Nicole died, and she was like, please leave me alone.
Oh, my God. No. How did you get in touch with Kimmy?
I found her on MySpace.
No.
And because no one was trying to reach out to her. Like, Anna Nicole died, and it was, like, on CNN.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
There was, like, it was a huge deal. Like, I mean, God, I like, that's, like, just, like... The biggest tragedy of it all is that she had her biggest moment when she dies. She didn't even get to experience it.
I know.
Like, well, she was really taken seriously.
Yeah.
What, you think she's haunting us?
Maybe. I mean, she's got some demons.
Where her spirit is these days. If it crossed over.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Or back in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bahamas, Doctor's Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, her life... took a turn. I mean, when she, when you move to like the Caribbean as a move, like that's like Amy Winehouse that's moving like, to like where she moved to, St. Lucia or like whatever
the Bahamas called. They were trying to like, they went to the place, they researched where fathers don't have rights, and then they went there for her to give birth so that he
Larry could, Burkhead wouldn't get like,
yeah, that's why it was such Daniel an ordeal. Yeah,
and Larry,
yeah.
Larry Burkhead's gay, right?
I think so. Yeah, he looks it.
And
he is like friendly, I think, with the cast of Vanderpump Rules.
Get out of town.
Really? Because really? I went, I'm
isn't I Daniel went, Lynn like 15?
She, well, God, she's I like mean, 11. Anna Nicole died in what, 2007? Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's probably 11 or 12. She's probably gonna be 12.
That's
yeah.
Fuck. I can't wait for Daniel Lynn to like take over.
I don't think, I mean, all right, I know she's just a child, so I'm about to talk shit on a kid. And it's not her fault, but yeah. I don't think she's like totally all there.
Oh,
I don't.
Really?
I mean, like, I just remember she had cross eyes, and then they had to
she
do
did
it
surgery.
And then
they fixed it.
Yeah, but that's all because I mean, her mom was on drugs at the time she was pregnant.
I mean, we saw that pregnant video of her in the, with the clown makeup, which was truly haunting.
Do you think it's too soon to do that as a Halloween costume?
Yeah.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah. It's too soon. No, it's like right on
time. Right about
time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
it's perfect timing.
I mean, I'll bleach my hair for that. Yeah. I will commit.
Oh my
would
God.
Would people
yes.
know who you were? The right
yeah,
ones would.
The right
all
people
the
would.
Right
yes.
ones would. All the gays would.
I'll just meet so many friends that night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. You'll meet other kindred spirits.
Like
kindred spirits.
Worth something would know.
Yeah.
It's such an easy costume. It's so cheap.
Yeah. I know. It's true. And then you love Mariah Carey.
Yes, of course. Who yeah,
is,
I really
who
do.
Is now opening up about her bipolar 2 disorder, which
all
I
makes
love.
Sense.
Well,
all
yeah, of
makes
course,
sense.
All tracks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would, in a weird way, I was relieved to hear a diagnosis because I thought she was just famous.
Yes.
Which was its own disease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It truly is, though. Like, yeah. like when I've met really famous people, I'm like, there's something not right. But
yes.
Then it's like, they're famous.
Yes.
That's what's not right. But she is actually. She has bipolar too, so it's a real thing.
Yeah, and it makes sense because I remember when she had her meltdown and people were like, she's on drugs. And it's like, no, she's not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I always truly believed she's not like that. She doesn't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, I mean, she drinks.
Yeah, she drinks. She but drinks. She's like not, she's not like a cokehead.
No.
Yeah. Not like a closet drug addict
yeah,
or something
like
that.
I remember reading the stories where like she was just like, would never sleep. She'd never sleep. She's like, I'm just always awake. I'm always working. I never sleep. And it just makes so much sense that she was having like manic phases.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally. So when you were babying out in your 20s and then you had a kid, mm-hmm. How old were you?
32.
What was your feeling about that? Were you like ready spaghetti or?
I don't know. Like I was married.
Yeah.
But I like got pregnant and then I was like, I like took a pregnancy test and I was like, fuck. And then yeah. I was like, wait, I guess like it's not like a big deal. Like I could actually have it.
Yeah.
Like how old are you when you stop getting abortions?
Yeah.
32.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, like 30s sound yeah. about mm-hmm. where you're like
Lara.
I mean, no, I would still get an abortion.
I've had some since then.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, so you, how old is Una now?
She's 6. Ugh. She's great.
She's so cute. Thanks. Wait, do you have like parent friends?
No. I would rather be lonely than annoyed or bored, you know? Like, yeah. I'm not interested
yeah.
in that.
Mm-hmm. So, like, what about your kids, like, friend? Like, I'm sure Una has play dates now.
Yeah, she's friends.
Yeah, and then you have to talk to the parents of those.
I do drop-off play dates.
Yeah.
I don't do let's hang.
Yeah.
Her dad did that in yeah. the beginning. And, like, when they're at that age, when they're that young that you can't leave them at someone's house, they don't even care about playing with someone. Like they're
right.
not interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just felt like whatever. She goes to the playground and she does that. Like I have a nanny who like takes her and does that stuff. I'm not
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah.
I know that sounds terrible.
No,
maybe.
I think
it's not what I'm interested in. I'm
yeah.
I have to work.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think you've spoken really honestly about like being a mom who still smokes pot and like whatever. And I feel like from my friends who have had kids, I think there's only like two of them, three of them. But there is such intense mommy shame. Like it is like the mommy blah.
Oh, I don't even have to deal with that because I don't have mom friends.
Yeah, no, but like even on the internet, like these like
well, yeah.
Facebook groups that they're involved in.
Kylie Jenner just got mommy shamed for going to Coachella.
Oh, I'm going to Coachella tomorrow.
Oh, well.
Shame! Shame! How shame! Dare how dare you? What about the children? What about the children? Yeah, I mean, it's like, but like, I mean, I don't know. It's just so, it just seems so intense, right?
I actually don't care. Yeah. I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't believe, I think because I grew up Catholic, maybe I dealt with that kind of stuff a lot when I was growing up, like feeling like guilty or that things were bad. Mm-hmm. And then I just like reached a threshold with that. And then nothing felt bad or guilty or shameful. And right. then like, but even though like I probably should have been ashamed right. at certain points, so I think I've like have a good balance now,
yeah.
but I mostly just don't, I don't listen to that kind of like stuff.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have a healthy, like when you do things that are like quote unquote wrong or whatever, I feel like you have a healthy, like you metabolize them in a healthy way where you're like, okay, that happened. Like, lol. Like, okay, moving on. It's not like, you know what I mean? I feel like what we've learned from this podcast is that like people have a lot of guilt and shame over their mistakes. And I feel like you truly are the originator of give no fucks. Like, I feel like that's like a trademark for you. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like you've just been like,
why dwell? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, keep it moving. There were like terrible, like there were really embarrassing things that I've done like online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I like it used to like kind of haunt me, like scandals from Jezebel or whatever, like things where like commenters would get mad, and those things like haunted me for a little bit. And now the links for those things don't work. So
wait, really?
It's like it never happened.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's
like
great.
What scandals did you get in Jezebel?
I made like a rape joke once, and I was wasted. And someone filmed it and then put it on the internet, and then
I feel like if that happened today, it would have been like, oof, I'm sure it was like World War III when
it was
happened.
Bad at the time. That was before Twitter.
Oh
my God.
But I was so wasted. I was on a show where you were supposed to get drunk. And then I learned that I'm better just stoned. Like, I should just only get stoned.
Yeah.
And I make way better jokes at that point than when I'm drunk. Like, none of my jokes even make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make sense to you and only you. Yeah.
Lol. I know, but like, things are so, I mean, we mentioned So You've Been Publicly Shamed, that book, which I haven't read, but I think it's so interesting because, like, it is, there's a lot about the Justine Sacco who went to, the Africa, you know, and her life got destroyed. And I read an article from, like, Sam Biddle, I Gawker, who, like, was the one that broke the story. And he wrote this story that was so stupid. It was like, you know, I, like, met her and I actually feel kind of bad about ruining her life. It's crazy. And you're just shut the fuck up. It's literally like local journalist feels bad about destroying someone's life for clicks. It's like, duh. Oh. But it's just, I mean,
he's been going through some stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that all kind of catches up.
It does. I mean, I feel bad for him in a way. But, I mean, no, I do. I feel bad for him. He's not going to listen to this. It's fine.
Yeah. I immediately just email it to Sam Biddle. I'm like, to Sam Biddle. Love. I mean, you were there when all the Gawker stuff went down, right? Isn't it crazy to think that it's not around anymore? I think it's scary that it's not around anymore.
But honestly, like being there, it makes sense that it's not around, and that like, because I remember like working at Jezebel, we would be like, we probably shouldn't like post pictures of women's vaginas, and there'd be like a whole like Jezebel Gawker feud. There always existed.
Oh my
and
God.
They were like super snooty, and they like thought who they were.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And they, like, you know, just thought that we were, like, you know, cat blogs and, like, reality TV and, like, girl stuff. Like, In like a shitty shithead way. And they ended up like fucking ruining themselves.
Yeah.
But I remember like there was like rivalry in that we didn't think it was cool that they would post
pictures of naked women, like, yeah, or naked celebrities, or celebrities getting out of cars. Like, we right. never did that. Like,
yeah,
when all that Britney stuff was happening, like when she was having her meltdown, that was right around the time that Jezebel launched, and we like refused to publish any pictures of like her period. Remember when she would like walk around with her period stain showing and stuff like that, because it was just so disgusting and like beating up on a woman
who's clearly going through some
just like not I don't know, and it was just like it was gross. And so I think that there was definitely like a different attitude about like about celebrities' privacy than I think like the fappening thing really like changed everyone's minds. Like for some reason that did it, like that made people like wake up and see like, oh yeah,
wait, which
like,
thing?
The when, fappening
the like it's when the fappening. When all those celebrities' naked pictures got leaked, like, oh, like on that really years was. Ago.
I remember we like got into a fight with it with a guy you were dating at the time.
Yeah,
at, like,
I was dating this guy, and he, I was just saying like, I never looked at any of the photos because I was like, that's gross and it's wrong. It's like an invasion of privacy, and like I think it's wrong. And then he was like, I did, like blah blah blah. Like who cares?
She like, took them. Like whatever. They're
like why do you take those photos? And I was just like, like it was just a bad. It was not- Classic straight white guy.
Being like, I don't understand like, something. Yeah. It doesn't affect me or relate to me. They're like, wait, I don't relate to this because it hasn't happened to me.
Yeah, like a,
and it never could.
So therefore, I don't care.
Yeah.
How? Why do I have to care about something that wouldn't happen to me or affect me? Like, it's literally like them like grappling with something. Like,
yeah, it doesn't compute.
I think it might have to do with like being like, because I was listening to, I've gotten really into the Goop podcast this past week.
Really?
And I listened to every single episode.
Is it?
No. kind of for Sex Unique, because we both release on Thursdays. great minds think alike.
Lol.
But there was like a guy on today's episode, I guess a psychologist or something, was talking about how men are conditioned, like, socially as boys to, like, around the time they're 3 and 4, they stop, like, having, like, emotional or feeling type of reactions because they're just, like, conditioned to know that it's, like, to be a man means that you just, like, shut that off and you don't do it. So I feel like that probably ties in with, like, how men, like, or at least, like, straight white guys tend to like not experience the same amount of empathy that like women would for, or gay men would for like a situation.
Yeah.
That's like that the happening.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense.
It's just, it tracks, as they say.
But I tried to buy Gawker back.
No.
Like I was trying to like privately raise money because like there was like a group of like a secret group of like former staffers and Gawker fans. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, but, like, you know what? I actually did see that. Yeah, whatever happened to that?
They did a Kickstarter. They didn't raise enough money. I was like, I went to a couple meetings about that, and I was like, I'm not trying to like preserve the archives because I think what they did was important. I see this as a business opportunity to buy a site that still gets a lot of traffic and like 10 years worth of IP.
Yeah.
And so I talked to some people, and then ultimately, oh, and then I found out that like it didn't matter because for the IP, because they had released all of the film and TV rights for every story to each writer. It, as part of like their contracts when they were working there.
That's nice. And I mean, so, as the writer, I'm like, that's nice.
Yeah. But then it was seemed worthless to me. So then I was like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. And also they published, they published naked pictures of me without my consent.
What?
When I was working there in like 2007.
That's crazy.
I know.
Are you serious?
I had completely blocked that out of my mind.
Wait, like under what circumstances?
So like when I first started working at Jezebel, I was like anonymous. I had this this pen name, Slut Machine. and
it's a good one.
When I came like out as myself, Nick Denton wanted me to do a photo shoot, and I didn't want to do like a portrait session, because what he used to do with like writers. They do portrait sessions, and I didn't want to do that. And so I did like a play on like of celebrities like getting out of cars with no like panties on, pictures like that. And so, but I put like a a wig on and I cut it. So it was like a giant merkin.
Right.
And so I did that. And so I was like supposed to be like drunk and wasted. Yeah. And it was, you know, kind of funny pictures. Yeah. But the photographer who took them was like also like kind of a scumbag. And he...
A scumbag photographer in Brooklyn? You don't say.
Yeah. He was like foreign, but I forget like what kind of foreign. He was like very like Euro trashy. He's probably not going to listen to this. And so...
I'm like... Emails. Euro trashy photographer.
Euro trash is our top demographic. Yeah, yeah. So.
Really bring in the Euro trash.
But there was like a shot that he wanted to do of me, like the car I'd use is like my then boyfriend's like old ass Toyota Camry, and so like it wasn't even like a nice car at all. And so he wanted to do a shot of me like lying on the ground, like. In my like low cut top, like just kind of like acting like I'm like passed out and like they put like pills around me, whatever. And so I was like lying there and I had had like two drinks beforehand to like get loosened up. So I was like nervous. I was having my picture taken. And then I was lying on the ground and he was like, oh, hold on. And my eyes were closed. And he was like, oh, hold on 1 second. And he came over to me and went like that. Like he flicked like my very low cut top anyway. And it was like, it was one of those tops where like you don't need a bra or you can't wear a bra because they'll see it.
Yeah.
And so he just like flicked, and it was cotton, and he just like flicked it over to the side and he snapped. And I was like, hey. And I like put my thing back on. I was like that. Like I was like mad. And I was like, I probably laughed nervously, but I was like, no. And I put my shirt back on, my top back on. And I didn't really think of it. And then we published the pictures, like the selects or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 months later, that guy like just decided because like, I don't know, I was like doing like well or getting a lot of like traction on the site. He decided to just publish that picture of my boob on his Tumblr. And then someone at Gawker saw it and then they aggregated it. And then they just put the picture on the fucking homepage, which my dad reads.
Wait,
he would read Gawker every
day. Have your own employer do that. So that is twisted, upset. Sister, though.
And then I complained. Like, I complained. We didn't have HR at that time. But I complained to Anna Holmes. And I don't really remember what she said, but nothing was done about it and it was not removed. If somebody had done that to one of my employees, I would have been like Shirley MacLaine in Terms of Endearment. I would have been like screaming and pounding on like desks and like freaking out. Like I mean, I do that advice sometimes and like they don't love it.
But you're just leaning in.
I am. But like, those pictures stayed up. So like, I'm kind of glad that like a lot of the pictures got deleted because I'm sure my boob picture is gone.
Yeah.
But that's such a mind fuck to I can't even fathom that.
They would do such mean shit.
But your own employer, like doing revenge porn on you.
Yes.
Like,
and then I just took it because there was like,
your employer.
I was like, this is the only job where I can write about women's issues online, which was true. Yeah.
It's also crazy that you worked for a feminist blog that worked against things like that.
Yeah.
And yet it happened within your own like employer. That's just wild to me. And it's also wild that you forgot about it.
Yeah, because it was just so normal. And I was like, oh, so just like, all right, on to the next thing. Like,
I think what all this stuff like does is kind of brings up all those things that were normalized. And you're like, wait, that was kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Me Too goggles are like crazy looking back on things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thick goggles.
Yeah. Looking back, like everything seems fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool. And which is crazy because I mostly just worked with straight women.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. You were like pretty much protected, but like not. But not. What was the movie that you were, I saw you were tweeting or Instagram, like that movie that you watched that was fucked up? Was that you? You were like posting.
The Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
Was just, I couldn't even, after the first season, I was like, I can't watch any more of this.
Oh my God, I got so into that show. But it is really like the way that they talk about gay people and like make gay jokes is
and
so
about
out
women
of control.
It's, and black people, it's wild going back and watching it. It's like, because I remember loving that show, like I think because I love Jeanine Garofalo and I thought she was so cool and
she's so good, and also I love Rip Taylor, like or not Rip Taylor,
Rip Torn.
Rip Taylor is pretty cool.
I mean, like, love him and his life for him, but like I really really love Rip Torn.
I remember it as being funny. I was very young when it came out. So, And then going back and watching, I was watching it because I got my face lasered off and I called out from work. And so I had a lot of
By the way,
time.
You look incredible.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You look great.
Thanks.
Wait, what is this? It's, we were texting about this. What was this procedure that you were having done?
Cool sculpting. I got care credit for it. So it's like, I don't have to pay for it right now. Yeah, of course I'll do it.
That's amazing. So wait, like what was the whole process like?
Of cool sculpting yeah. or my face lasers?
Okay. Or both.
I've done so much okay. in the past month. I'm not even kidding you.
Really?
I've really done a lot. Yeah. Okay, it was time to like come out of like my winter cocoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
And get back on track.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cool sculpting is great. Like, I haven't really seen the results yet. It takes like a month to start seeing them. Like okay. I started to see it a little bit after 3 weeks, like just because I've not dieted or exercised at all. I'm like, I'm looking like, okay.
Yeah.
You're just like slowly waiting yeah. for yourself to like piss all of it out.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, my dreams are coming true. Honestly. They just like put this like film on you and then they have this like instrument and it just like, it sucks your fat in and it just kind of holds it there and then freezes it and then it gets really 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 cold and they put a blanket on you and then they set up a movie for you to watch it.
Does it hurt?
What movie did you watch?
I was watching Netflix. I watched a show called, I don't even remember what it was called. I watched the whole thing. It was
clearly it was memorable
because I was there for like hours.
Really?
Because, yeah, because I did
hours?
No. Well, I did 4 treatments at one time because mm-hmm. I didn't want to keep coming back. So yeah. I just did them all.
Oh wow! Is that recommended?
I don't know. I mean, the lady recommended it. I don't know if she knew what she was talking about. They were. It wasn't all in the same spot.
Okay.
It was all in my different. Stomach, but it was like
and it did
one
not
here,
hurt.
One here, one here. No, it didn't hurt at all. It just was
great.
Cold, and they like make you feel really comfortable. They like give you a blanket, and it was like cozy.
I want to do that.
Yes, do it. Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Is the feeling coming back?
No. I mean,
wait,
yes.
What? It's you can't.
No, you can't feel it.
Wait, what?
No, my like skin. It's coming back. It's coming back like a little bit, but.
Wait, what do you mean?
It just goes completely numb because it's frozen.
Wait, where is it? Where can you not feel?
Oh, my stomach. Like my skin. Feel- like, I mean, it's starting to come back. Like if I pinch it, but like, it feels like when I pinch it, that I'm pinching it through like layers and layers of clothes instead of just
is
like
Is that
my
weird?
Jeans.
Is that a weird feeling?
Yeah, not- but I guess like I had that from a C-section. So like I'm used to it. And I feel like it's going to be worth it. So
yeah, you're like, would I rather have feeling in my stomach or my stomach to be gone?
Yeah. I would rather not have it at all.
Yeah. Fair.
Fair enough. And then what was the laser treatment like?
I got Fraxel dual beam on my face and they did numbing cream for like an hour. So beforehand. So when I actually did it, I didn't feel it. Really, like I could feel it like a little bit. It wasn't intense. Like it, I'm sure if you don't do that, like you want to die.
Yeah.
And I could feel my face burning off. Like I could smell burning flesh when they were doing it. I was like,
no.
I was like, this is so gross. Like this is really gross. And then when I left there, I looked really horrible. Like just so red and like it creates these like almost like graphs on your face, like
no.
these like squares. Ramona got it done.
Oh, and then she went on that trip, right?
Yes.
Before it was fully done.
Yeah. So I took time off work.
Yeah.
And I did it on a Friday. And then I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it was Easter week. And so I just decided to like work from home on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And then I went back to work on Wednesday and I wasn't like great, but I was. I could mask it a little better.
Right.
Because your skin literally feels like sandpaper. It's very rough. And then it just falls off. It just sloughs off.
Oh, my God.
Like when you're washing your face in the shower?
Yeah. Like eventually. Yeah. But you have to be, like, really gentle with it at first. And then, yeah, it took about 10 days to go. And then my skin looked great for like a week straight, and then I got eyebrow tattoos, and then I wasn't allowed to get my face wet for 10 days, and then I started to break out, and I was like, I just like messed that up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you do look amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
I feel like I'm fine. It's been a really rough April. It's
been.
Just in terms of like procedures and recovering from
that. Yes, there's been a lot of recovery time. And I like, because I took that time off when I did my face. I didn't do that when I did my eyebrow tattoos. And I actually wish that I'd reversed it because I looked crazy.
Were they really, really dark?
So dark and so red and raised.
Were people like, what?
Yes. Everybody who I came face to face, I almost went and got bangs. And then I was like,
make a bad situation worse.
No, babe, bangs are a babe.
I really do almost not go did to it. Bangs. Because but then I was like, why am I going to do that? Like, I think I've literally spent $3,000 on my forehead this month.
I don't think
I should do that.
Yeah.
That was bad. But then yesterday was the first day I could get my face wet. And it felt so good. It felt so good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. I love that you can get your face wet again.
Mm-hmm. You're back. You're doing a spring zhuzh.
I am. I know. Yeah.
Sad no one can see this. It's a podcast.
I know. I have a face for podcasting.
Jesus. All right. Should we go into reader mail?
Yeah. Let's do reader mail. All right. Dear Ryan and Laura. Ugh. God, that's a troll.
Here we go again.
Hopefully that's like a lol troll.
Yeah, hopefully they know what they're doing.
But I'm also like, I read this morning and didn't catch this and was like, oh my God, this is so sweet. And I'm reading it again and I'm like, I hate you. Dear Ryan and Laura, the past 2 weeks have been exceptionally rough for me. I had 2 kidney stones pass at 35 weeks pregnant and then went into labor a few days later. Our daughter was delivered breech and prematurely via C-section and is thankfully healthy. Yay. Besides having problems gaining weight, she is currently in NICU, learning how to eat and gaining weight to come home. The point of my email is not for a pity party. I've had plenty of solo ones, but to tell you both that this week's episode of Babe made me laugh for the first time in a week. There's been a lot of crying, a lot of my emotional side taking over my rational thoughts, a lot of wondering at what point I'll feel not so shitty and helpless for my kid, but I really felt a release listening to Thoughty Lollers on my way home from the hospital yesterday. Anyways, thank you for this podcast. I just signed up to be a patron because I need more babe in my life.
Aww. That's really nice. Is it weird that I hear stories like that and I get so jealous because I didn't come back from the hospital okay?
Like, I think that you're okay to think that.
I mean, because I hear birth trauma stories and then they're like, and honestly, it all worked out. And I'm like here being like...
I didn't even think about that.
Well, it's okay. I'm bad that I think about it, but I don't know. But it's true. I mean, I was delivered wrong.
Wait, in what way was it wrong? Because I know you've talked about this before.
I don't really know like the real logistics of it. I just know that like it was a really bad birth.
Was it a C-section?
Yeah, it was a C-section. Okay. And I guess the doctors made some mistakes. And
you have a very good shaped head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I never thought about that, but... I guess I could totally have a weird shaped head. But yeah, like I was born blue, losing oxygen, and I was in the ICU for like 2 months. It was like a TBD affair.
Were you premature?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh.
I was on time, but not ready. The world was not ready for me. So anyway, but I'm super happy that her child is going to be good. And I'm really sorry for making this about me. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. No, but I hear stories. It's like weird because I think like when you're born... different. And like you hear these stories of like it was a really tumultuous delivery and they were in the ICU, but honestly miracles everything worked out okay. And I just clock that a lot. I've heard like throughout my life I've heard those stories a lot, and anyway. Okay.
Next.
I'm sorry.
Hi, babes. So I'm currently binging your eps and recently listened to Shannon and Vicky, I'm fucking done, where you shared that email where the babe read her ex's emails for 2 years. I literally lolled at that one. Then I realized I had a related babe moment.
I'm fucking done.
I fucked this dude at the ripe age of 18, a freshman at liberal arts college, lol. And when he dumped me for what was to be his future wife, he was 22, a senior at our school, I went full babe. I tried to act all cool, like, oh no, we just fuck, I don't care, etc., etc., but I actually did care. Basically, I was convinced I was hot and she was boring. Well, I discovered her fashion blog and read it religiously, awaiting her mention of her relationship. This is how I found out they got engaged, married, and then eventually had a baby. Basically, I've stalked this chick since the moment he dumped me 7 years ago.
Is this Dodie?
Yeah, basically.
I relate to this woman.
Starting on her blog, but eventually moving to her Insta and Twitter. And we interact regularly on both, fave each other's tweets, etc. I'm just one bottle of rosé away from replying to one of her tweets and being like, you know how I know you, right?
Or Eskimo sisters.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, this is normally an issue I'd tweet about, but obs, that isn't an option.
This whole podcast has made me realize just how like super sleuth women are online about exes and stuff like that. It's powerful.
Well, sometimes it's interesting because for me, I've definitely had like obsessive moments online, and like it a lot of the times is like a way to like emotionally cut myself, I've realized.
Yes,
like,
100%.
I'm like,
is.
Hey, do I want to feel, and it's actively like become like, hey, do I want to feel like shit right now? Like, I'm going to go just like read my ex-boyfriend's entire Twitter account to the point that I left off last time, like four weeks ago. And then I'm just like, wow, I fucking hate him and I hate my life. And then I just like am in a pissy mood. So I'm like really trying to not do those like moments anymore, because it just like makes me enraged and I don't get anything out of it.
Well, and considering
it took me therapy twice a week for a year to stop doing that.
Really?
I think that I stopped doing it, no, not for a full year, for like 8 months.
Yeah,
but that's good.
And yeah, no, and then I thought, I have never done that again.
Because I'm sure, being the Nancy Drew that you are, I mean, if you can figure out tax liens against reality stars, I imagine what you could uncover with an ex-boyfriend.
Oh my god, yeah, so much.
But you just like get in this mode where you're like, it becomes like obsessive, or it's like I want to know, and I actively in the moment feel myself like feeling worse and worse. Mm-hmm. But then you're just like, well, now I know everything.
It's 100% like cutting.
Yeah,
it's like you're doing it to feel, even though it's just like feeling bad. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing it like just like you get hurt, but at least you know you can feel.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You're feeling something.
Or at least you're like controlling the hurt. Like you're somehow in charge of it, and then you're gonna like administer.
It gives you this false sense of control amongst the chaos.
I relate to this girl too, because I have also though taken to, it's not an ex, it's not an ex's girlfriend, but it's my friend's ex-friend. Who I was always like, she's a bitch. And then when they finally stopped being friends, I was like, finally. But I, for years now, I know everything that's going on in her life. And when I get into bed every night, I will check. I spend like an hour like getting into other people's business for like right before I go to bed, like just like looking, see what's going on. I always check in on like what she's doing. I don't follow her, but I don't care if she knows that I watch her Insta stories. And so,
I love that. That's very freeing. Mm-hmm. You don't care.
Like, whatever. I mean, you're lucky that I care.
Yeah. I love that.
But you develop a relationship. Like, I'm like, oh, well, she's like, she has been installing a pool in her backyard. So, you know, of course, like.
It's true. You really become personal with that stuff. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Wow. And your, like, relationship to whoever it is that you're kind of, like, cyber stalking. I mean, for me, it's, like, different shades. Like, there's different categories of people that make me feel, like, certain ways. But with exes, mostly, it's like a DNR for me.
Oh, by the way, we talked about this last week about how I was sort of envious from afar of these, like, these boat gays that, like, live in Venice and Malibu that, like, they're just always, like, on a boat.
On boats.
And they're just, like, always naked and just, like, hot and just, like, on a boat. And I was just, like, confused but intrigued by them. And actually, we got invited to the boat.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Well,
because they're
that's
actual,
like the secret. You put
actual,
it out there.
Like, they're like friend. They're like, we're like sort of friendly with them.
Yeah,
they're
I'm
not,
friendly
like,
with
they're
them.
They're not like Marlon. Oh, yeah, Laura's friends with them. but they're not like
Marlon. Hi, guys.
And I'm friends with one of the guys. So, like, they're not so removed.
You're
but,
like, my friends have not invited me on their boat. And then I got invited.
That's the underneath. It's amazing what you can really accomplish with the, wait, it's amazing then, what you can accomplish with the podcast.
Ryan got invited and then is not going on the boat.
Well, because you're going out of town this weekend. I will go when you're back. I'm not going on the boat without you. this boat don't dock without you, honey. what's the next one?
Let's see.
By the way, Shannon, I'm fucking done. Do you Do you remember that? Like last season, that's all she would say.
Yes.
Fucking done. She left A Quiet Woman, which I've always wanted to go to.
Oh my God, we should go.
We should go to A Quiet Woman.
Yes.
Really should.
What is it, like an hour from here?
Yeah, it's in Orange County. It'd have to be like a commitment, but I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah.
Where's A Quiet Woman?
It's the restaurant where Shannon lost her shit at Kelly.
And Kelly just hangs out. They both just kind of, I think they've been there often on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It's in their neighborhood. It's in Kelly's. Kelly and Shannon lived in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where Shannon threw a plate of food.
Yeah.
That wasn't her food.
That wasn't her food.
Yeah, because she ate her food.
Okay.
Let's say.
Do you remember her personal trainer who is so mean to her? And you know he's not certified. Like, he's not real.
No, he has a Me Too thing.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
He was cruel to her in he such an insane way. He was
such a jerk.
Yeah, he was such a
jerk. When she took her shirt off and he was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. That's what Tracy Anderson said to Gwyneth. Remember when Tracy Anderson was like, when I saw Gwyneth naked, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is bad.
I can't even imagine, because she just has seemed very thin her whole life to me.
Yeah, Gwyneth has
She's very thin, but she has this body that's like insane. Like
the holes.
Her, like you see her in person and she looks just like, she looks regular. Like, you wouldn't say, like, oh, my God, she's so thin. Because you know a lot of famous people, you see them and you're like, oh, my God, that's a stick figure.
Yeah.
Like, but Gwyneth looks just, like, regular. But then you know that she is actually celebrity-level thin. But it's just the way her muscles have been toned by that Tracy Anderson workout that's, like, it's otherworldly.
But, like, she never looked bad. Like, Tracy Anderson being like, I saw her naked and it was scary is such a reach and so insane.
Yeah. Well, Tracy.
What would she do?
Tracy has thoughts. And Tracy has feedback.
Tracy's scary.
Tracy's a babe.
Tracy's scary. Tracy with a Y, that one.
Yeah, I know.
I live for Tracy Anderson, though. She and Gwyneth had, like, a very short-lived web series for a minute.
Did they?
Yeah, where they would, like, interview people and, like, try.
Oh, it wasn't even, like workout?
Oh, wait,
like,
weren't they trying to be funny?
No, it was, like, trying to, like, empathize with like normies, but you could tell that they like didn't really understand.
<That's brave. laughs> Well, they realized they couldn't, and that was the end of the web series.
She was just in a headline recently, Tracy Anderson.
Really?
Like, I was like, well, she's on Page Six right now. Like, why?
Oh, she's always like around.
Yeah,
I she live is. For Tracy Anderson. Like, just her video. Like, she has a lot of videos on YouTube, like workout videos psychotic. And like arm videos.
She's like, just do it this for like 4 hours. Like, literally, it's,
and
like, 4 hours.
Have you ever taken a class of hers? One of the Tracy Anderson method classes. They're amazing because I've never been in another workout class like this, but the instructors don't speak. So you just go in.
I like that.
They don't even say like the class is starting. They just like they turn on music and then get in the front and then they just do movements and you're supposed to know how to do the movements. And like you have to like follow them and they don't even say like, okay, we're going to like turn. They just turn and then everyone else turn. Like it's the most confusing.
To be involved, it's like a cult. You have to go like every day. You have to like to understand it. You have to go 2 hours a day. No, three or four. Sometimes they recommend.
No, I think it's like two.
2 hours a day.
Two is a lot.
That's a lot. I mean,
especially in LA. Like, I'm in the car so much here. It's wild.
Well, you also always stay downtown and work in Venice, which is a thing that you do that I've always been perplexed by.
Because I like downtown.
I know, but you've literally just picked the opposite ends of the earth.
Because
is the traffic insane getting back and forth?
Awful.
But then I'm going literally in the like the worst direction of traffic in the morning and evening.
I know.
But you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I don't want to stay on the west side unless I can stay in a place where it's to my liking and they won't pay for me to do that. Vice. They will pony up for me to stay at the Ritz or the Viceroy.
So. Where would they make you stay?
Like I don't know, Jamaica Bay Inn or something like that.
What?
I'm not interested in
that. But they'll pay for the Ace?
Yeah, because it's like probably the same amount of money. But because the Ace is so far, it's like not that expensive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. All right, cool. What else do we have?
Dear Lara and Ryan, it goes without saying that I absolutely adore the pod and love seeing a new episode appear in my podcast queue each week. I'm writing because I'm facing a real moral dilemma after making some pretty questionable babe decisions this past weekend. Apologies for the small novel that lies ahead. Here's the backstory. In January, I started dating a physician,
Oh, in January, I started a physician assistant program and quickly developed a very small, tight-knit group of Lawler friends who I'm with from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, Sheep. Since we're in school all day.
Love.
Think the opposite of New Girl. Three girls and one guy with weird sexual tension among everyone.
Interesting. Okay.
Let's call him Luke, and one of the girls, dubbed Jenna, lived together and started hooking up pretty early in the semester. And it is a well-known fact to our entire class that Jenna really likes Luke. After about a month of hooking up...
Well, yeah, they're hooking up. What do you mean?
Luke decided that he didn't want to be sleeping with his roommate slash classmate for obvious reasons and decided to end things. Cut to this weekend, we're all out celebrating our hard work from the previous week, and Jenna pulls me aside to tell me that she and Luke hooked up on Friday again, clearly very excited. As the celebrations continue, we all get drunker. Jenna leaves to go home. Now it's me, Luke, the fourth friend in our quad clique, who is not nearly as drunk as us. This is where my drunk babe enters the picture. As I text Luke from across the table, "Wanna fuck?" to which he replied, "What? You read my mind." We went to dinner with our fourth friend, who proceeded to take us back to my apartment before leaving Luke and I to have the craziest, hottest sex I've ever had, and I've had a lot of crazy hot sex. We were extremely sexually compatible, which is something he had said was not the case with Jenna and him. Anyways.
Wow. Sorry, Jenna. Sorry about it.
Oh.
Fantastic wow. morning sex. We agreed we could continue our clandestine affair, and I took him back to his apartment. Jenna led us into the apartment, and she was quite frigid, which is not usual for her. Cue instant internal anxiety attack. Jenna assured me later in the day that she was upset due to some family drama and was not upset with me, but of course she doesn't know what ensued the night before, I think. Is it completely babe of me to want to keep up this insanely hot secret sex with my best friend? I wouldn't say that I like Luke in that way, nor do I care if he continues to sleep with Jenna.
What?
But I know it would crush her if she knew. I'm loving the thrill of keeping a secret like this, but I'm also extremely anxious that we could be discovered. Plus, I've always prided myself on being a very loyal friend. He and I have discussed all of this ad nauseum, and we're on the same page, but we both agree that Saturday night was too good not to continue. Need help and clarity. Sending thoughts and prayers to babes everywhere.
This is like Crazy Anatomy. It's like literally like it's just called like literally like we're bored and we work so much that yeah. we need a release.
Well, they can't. I mean, I think that that's they such a difficult no, place
wait,
to be
in college.
They're in
physician assistant program.
Yeah, so it's probably like they don't get out much outside of their.
So this is like what they have to work with.
Okay.
So I'm confused because literally she was like, "The sex is amazing, but also I don't care if it continues and like, I don't like him." I was like really confused by that kind of thing.
Yeah. I get
I don't think this is, I mean, Jenna knows. Okay. Cause yeah. I told her. She knows.
I don't see how Jenna could not know because yeah. if you spent the night Jenna together knows. And then you dropped him off at the house the next day, I'd be like, you guys fucked.
What if our yeah. next email is from Jenna? She's
I
like,
hope
okay guys, there's
in.
Some problem. Yeah.
Like, I think my friend, but I think my the guy friend, that I've been yeah. fucking, that
I don't
like.
Know.
My friends have been hanging out without me.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I think
no.
I think that this can only end badly.
Unless you want to have like group sex, in which case.
He's going to fuck that third girl.
Yeah, I know.
He's
yeah.
just working through.
Then
the
that's
group.
The next one's Jenna, then the other one's the third girl being like, "Why is no one fucking me?"
Yeah. yeah. No, they're going to have sex.
Yeah. yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like someone's going
to
find
it's
out.
It's kind of mean to your friend, but like if you are really just like situational friends, then it's fine. Like
yeah.
Yeah, like are these like your best friends and like because I also got a little, I'm like, okay, how loyal of a friend are you if you're literally like the day after your friend Jenna fucks this guy, you're like, hey, wanna fuck? Like,
yeah.
I know you're drunk, but it also
yeah.
like,
you weren't drunk enough. Like, I mean, you were still texting, like
right.
you were forming sentences and right. you were able to type and unlock your phone and
yeah.
stuff. Like, you weren't that drunk.
So you were sober. Yeah.
yeah.
No, but I mean, I think it's a recipe for disaster, but also I know that you're bored and horny and working on your WID program, so.
And
I
it's
think
like, what's done is done.
Now, once, what
so.
It wants. You actually, yeah, you're right. What's done is done, so you might as well keep fucking him, I guess. I don't know. Although there's always such a like, oh, one time we were drunk, and then multiple times.
Well, I mean, yeah, but if I was in Jenna's shoes and I found out, which I actually, I've not been necessarily in Jenna's shoes, but I had these friends in college where like my best guy friend at the time and then this chick that I knew that had moved to Chicago for the summer, they started hooking up, but like secretly because I guess she had a boyfriend living back in Oklahoma. And I kept being like, I know you guys are hooking up. Like, is what's going on between the two of you? And they denied it to me for months and then like lied to me about it. And that made me feel, I really hated it's that.
Very Brenda Kelly Dillon.
It is. It's classic Brenda Kelly Dillon.
Yeah.
And
it's just Dillon weird. It's like, Kelly. Why would you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. Good luck with your projects.
But good luck. Let us know how it goes.
See, we give really good advice here. You know that?
Yeah. It's like, it's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's not up to us.
Let us know. What you decide.
I mean, ultimately, it is her decision. If the sex is really, it's hard when you have someone where the sex is just like so insane that you just like want to keep it going for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, I wanted to say thank you so much for this incredibly soothing lull of a podcast. Babe has played a key role in uplifting me in my darkest hours, and I'm forever grateful. Lara, I'm particularly grateful for your openness regarding sexual assault trauma. Our coping skills in this terrible area are very similar, and that alone has felt very reassuring. Anyways, on to the babe of it all.
I love a pivot. That's literally all we talk about. We're like, rape. Anyways, like, Real Housewives of New York.
Mm-hmm. I recently decided to lean into my true desires, re straight men. Basically, I'm living my truest, sluttiest life, and men are all just walking dildos to me. Likewise, straight bros have a weird relationship to me in that they tend to divulge their deepest darkness to me, so it's like being in a sexy emotional support dog, which is clearly the role I was born to play. So,
this seems funny.
Cut to Saturday. I'm vaguely hungover and trapped inside because Toronto is enduring a springtime ice storm. I decide to soothe my boredom by texting Jacob, a skater boy from Tinder who I've yet to meet IRL. Jacob and I banter all day. I bring the lols, he brings the ego and sexual energy until eventually we decide that he's going to bring me a pizza at 12 a.m. But twist, I open my door to receive my za and I'm stunned to realize that this is a completely different Jacob. This is the Jacob that I engaged with on Tinder about 2 years ago and things fizzled before we ever came face to face. I decided to keep my truly lol blunder to myself and we proceed to eat pizza, watch Sex and the City, and dry hump. Biggest twist of all, when asked who he's most attracted to on Sex and the City, he answered, Bunny.
Wait.
He claims
Trey's mom?
Yeah.
He Bunny claims McDougal?
He's never been attracted to the elderly before, but that Bunny seems to have the strongest personality of everyone involved. Very fair. TBD on Jacob 2.0.
She's elegant.
She is elegant. She has a nice little ribbon in her hair.
Yes.
I feel that this could have been a babe, but I'm a very babe place in my life. So now it's a babe. So now a babe.
I'm telling you, it's like choose your own babe. Like literally, like you have the power of your mind to turn anything into a babe. Babe.
I'm obsessed with him saying Bunny. That's something I've never
heard before. Would not necessarily, like, I wouldn't love that if someone said that, but
I'd be like,
I'd be like, interesting.
I know. Well, I would be like, oh, I mean, just because, like, I'm a little bit sensitive about getting older.
Yeah.
So I would be like, and I almost only have sex with younger guys now. And that's just, like, happened. It's not, like, by design. It's just by default.
Yeah.
And so I would be like, oh, my God, he's, like, only into, like, older ladies. And that would make me feel really self-conscious. Uh-huh. But if I was younger, I probably wouldn't think about it. I would just be like, that's weird.
But also, I love that you, like, would ever equate your age with bunnies.
Bunny. You like that sometimes.
Bunny is like a legitimate, like...
She's, like, 79.
She's, yeah, I know.
But people that are 25 think that anyone over 32 is the same. They're like...
That's actually fair.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like being 25 and everyone, like, thinking 32, 39, same different. Like, whatever. It's the same shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
It's weird to think that, like, God willing, we all, like, will be in our 50s someday. We're just going to be like, oh, my God, I'm, like, 53.
I won't look like it.
Yeah, I know.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah, if things are going well, I'll just, like, reach 35 and then stay.
What if we're still doing babe? Kill me. We're, like, 51. We're like, did you babe out this week? We're like, well, I've got the knee problems. So, that's a babe. I need to, my erection doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything.
But you would just go on medication though, right?
Yeah.
You
would just take a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had to take that yet, but I'm really into doing it.
It's
going to
happen soon.
I'm not scared of like doing things that you have to do when you get older in that sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a pill. I'd slough off my face. Cold, like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Okay, who's our babe of the week? We said that we would like let people nominate them, but then I also don't think we got any nominations.
We didn't.
Or did we?
We did get one. Hi, Lauren Ryan, longtime Lawler and Ryan O'Connell fan since the Thought Catalog days. Pre-ordered and read I'm Special. We're friends on Snapchat, etc. Lara, the podcast. You do, because you sent this guy a Snapchat.
I did?
In this email.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, you can...
Oh, I used to have like weird nude like sex sections.
I used to keep it interesting on Snapchat.
Yeah. Snapchat was like
with like just like one-on-one combos.
Snapchat was like slut chat.
No, I would just know because no one that I really knew had Snapchat or followed me. No one in my family for sure. And yeah. So I would just like do like nude shots or like
I would bra and panties. I would always send nudes. Is it a nude?
No. Okay. It's just a picture of you looking stoned and it says, I love ya. On brand.
My Snapchat life was dark. Okay, go ahead.
Lara, the podcast has made me fall in love with you too. Probably even more than Ryan.
She said, you said that?
Anyways. Oh! Like any self-respecting homo in 2018, I was recently cruising for a dick appointment on Grindr and found the most babe profile I've ever seen. I was truly darked out and knew immediately I needed to share this with my fave podcasters via reader mail, saying my daily prayers for this person in their unclear journey. Screenshot attached with bonus Snapchat Ryan sent me once. This guy, so this Grindr babe's bio is hashtag thinning with a little emoji of a chart going down.
What?
And he says his highest weight, his calorie count for April 7th as of 9:52 a.m. was 410.
Why is he putting that on Grindr?
I don't know.
That's pretty early in the day. Wait, what?
Yeah, that's early in the day.
Yeah, that's like 9, 8. That's fine. I don't usually
That's like breakfast,
noon.
Right?
Yeah, but I guess he's just holding himself accountable. I don't know. I don't know if anyone told him that Grindr isn't a weight loss app.
Yeah.
Says his highest weight, 333 pounds. Current weight, 170.4. Goal weight, 160. Goal weight number two, 150.
What?
Ultimate goal weight, 140.
Oh my God. What? That's too thin.
Is this?
That's he's too thin.
Like, I didn't know that is gay guys like had like... Do gay guys have like Anna communities?
I'm sure they do. Lara.
Do they?
Yeah, of course they do. Anorexia, I think anorexia and gay men, God, gay men have so many body issues.
Well, yeah, I know they have body issues. I'm not asking about body issues. I'm asking about their community. Like, because I used to, one of my favorite pastimes was like going and finding like Anna communities on Tumblr and like on the internet. It's my favorite.
Yeah. That was like when I learned about them when I was at Jezebel.
Remember Anna's song, Silverchair? Please, Diane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I feel like it's like less common. Mm-hmm. And then I guess to be gay on top of it and be anorexic, it's like, I mean.
I feel like gay men are really marginalized more prone to.
Maybe you need the community.
Eating disorders. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe he's trying to start a community.
I just think that, like, who thinks that's sexy? I thought Grindr was for fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm confused about that.
Like, you're just supposed to, like,
maybe he's connecting.
Maybe he's connecting with other like minded. Like, there's like an Anna community that's on Grindr amongst gay men. And this is how they, like, hold each other accountable.
Because,
like, you can't really do that on the internet anymore, right? Like, it gets flagged or, like, taken down by stuff. So
I'm sure Reddit has a lot of, like, Anna forums and stuff like that.
I don't know. They've been like policing hardcore.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
I've not heard about it in a long time.
Well, did they fuck or not?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's like one of those things where like he feels fat all the time and he just feels like he has to list his current weight and what his goal weight is. Cause I know that like I think that in my head, like with dating apps, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to put something like a picture where I look like really good, where I don't look like myself. Cause like I don't want people's faces to fall when they see me.
That's the thing I've never understood is like people putting photos that don't represent them. Cause I'm like, don't you understand that when they see you, they're going to know that you're a liar and the date is already off to a bad start.
So he's just trying to get ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
He's also, his height is 5'7". So I don't think that his goal weights are like that.
Oh,
insane.
Yeah, actually, they're that's not. That tracks. 5'7", 140.
5'7" is too short.
Yeah, that's the that's the real problem.
Yeah,
you're like, your anorexia, your body disorder. No, it's you're too short. Oh my God, lol. You're like, stop focusing on your body and stop focusing on your height.
Yeah,
misdirected.
Okay.
So, babe of the week. I guess myself. I have no choice.
That's mine too.
The wild, wild country thing I have.
The wild, wild country thing haunts me to this very moment. And it's shaken. It's shaken me. That and the dog flip out, which we didn't. I feel like we didn't get to devote enough time to that.
We
but
did. I think we lived there.
That. And then the announcement of moving to Atwater Village without having bought any sort of real estate in Atwater Village, and then planning the move to Atwater Village, where he was like, well, when I moved there, like, so-and-so can move in my apartment. And I was like, what's happening? It threw me into a tailspin. I'm like, yeah, on birth control, so I'm feeling hormonal and crazy. That's and then the Ryan acted, Ryan did a God trifecta damn it. Of crazy.
You put the troll in birth control, honey. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
Ryan's
you
trifecta really do. Of babe behavior really made me question who he is and do I know him really. So yeah, you're my babe of the week.
Lol. All right.
Well, that's it.
thank you for coming on, honey.
Yeah,
thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
Duh, super fun. I love it, making the podcast rounds. Mm-hmm. love. All right, guys. Donate to our Patreon, because this shit ain't free. Well, it is free. It's totally free. But if you want to, donate $5.
Yeah, you can go to www.patreon.com/babepodcast and follow us on Instagram @babepodcast and write us an email.
Yeah.
babepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. It's the call. Did you enjoy our thotty pictures that we posted? I forgot we posted nudes.
Yeah.
Online.
I did. I liked them both.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh!
Thank you
so much.
I know. Yeah, I haven't taken any thotty pictures this week, but hopefully.
I feel like they were well received. I could definitely post another picture of my ass, but who knows?
Ryan.
Do you not get in trouble for butt pictures?
No. A guy's ass is so, like, it's so crazy because guys' asses are so sexual to me, but society treats them as, like, lols. Like, they're like, it's a silly thing. And I'm like, wait, are you kidding me? A guy's butt is, like, fucking pornographic nirvana for me. It's like I would literally like I jerk off to butts all the time, just butts. That's all I care about is butts. So people treat it as a lol, and I'm like, you can take your lol, and I'm grateful for it.
Wow,
because you can just show your butt on Instagram, no one cares.
My post got one more like than your post did. Thank God.
Wait,
I love that you just did the analytics.
You are so
on that.
Tom Petty.
I needed that.
Wow.
Wait, you guys, please go to the polls immediately. I think my ass looked really good in that photo.
It did look good. Yeah.
I have a really nice butt.
You have a nice butt.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right. On that note, we got to go.
No, your ass.
I'm fucking done.
I'm fucking done. Bye.
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 Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.